And good evening, everyone. Welcome, Children of the Stars, to another evening of Cosmic Code Radio here on the BBS. I hope everyone survived the Thanksgiving weekend. Hope everyone had a good time with all their family and friends and get-togethers. Did you stuff your face with mass amounts of carbs? Did you shop till you dropped? Now that the turkey's carved, the shopping is done, quite possibly you've had to deck the halls this weekend. I know I did. My house is fully decorated thanks to my kids. So what's next? Well, we have a great show in store for you this evening. Tonight's show is about giving a little of yourself back to make a difference in the lives of children. In a few minutes, I will be joined by my friend Julie from the Cheyenne River Indian Reservation Youth Project. I had her on last year, and this was a great success. And since I'm new to the BBS, I wanted to bring this listening audience. I wanted to give everyone an opportunity to and tell her incredible stories about the children on this reservation and how it's very important that we give them a good Christmas this year. I'll give you a little history about South Dakota in just a minute, but we're going to discuss how each and every one of us this evening can make a difference and make Christmas a little brighter for the kids of the Lakotas. Like I said, this is the second year I've done it. Last year was a big hit. This is the second year I've done this, and as long as I'm able to broadcast to you, I will always do this for my friends every year in South Dakota. I'm going to give you just a little bit of history about South Dakota. It's not all good, but I have to educate the masses on what's really happening on these reservations. And Cheyenne River is just one of them. It's one of many up there. Cheyenne River is actually one of the smallest ones, is my understanding. But there are so many other reservations besides Cheyenne River that need help, especially during the holidays. I'm affiliated with a Facebook page called Supporting South Dakota Reservations. You can type that in and join it, and you'll get updates on all kinds of Native American issues. That is also an excellent site to go for information on where you can ship any, you know, blankets and Christmas presents and, you know, things like that. Obviously, don't ship food or anything like that, but things that we take for granted every day. Toothpaste, you know, hair shampoo, hand lotion, the little things that we take for granted. These people do need, you know, simple everyday toiletries. So, you know, get a new blanket, send some hand lotion, you know, that they create lovely little baskets for elders as well. So, you know, help the children, help the elders. But South Dakota is the second most corrupt state in the nation. Georgia is number one. Now, you're now asking yourselves, what's wrong with South Dakota? Well, what if I told you that there is legalized kidnapping in this state? What would you say to that? What does that mean? Well, let me break it down for you. In South Dakota, Native American children make up about 15% of the child population, but they make up for more than half of the children that are put into foster care every year. Every time that they put a child in foster care, the federal government sends money to that state, and South Dakota is a very poor state, and the way that they make their money is by deeming Native American children as special needs and then profit from it. You know, it's like that saying goes, always follow the money and you will find the corruption. And boy, ain't that the truth. Nearly 700 Native American children are removed from their homes in South Dakota per year. They're taken away from their families, their spiritual path, and they're forced to live in not so nice of living conditions with not so nice people. Realize too that some people that take in foster kids don't really care about the foster child themselves. They care about the money they get every month from the government because they've taken in these children. It's very sad and it's very heartbreaking. But all of you have to do, my friends, is be awake and aware and educate yourself, research, and see what's going on in the world. We must remember something. Our history books, I don't like to say this, but it's the truth. They're a white man's lie. When you think about it, American Indians are our smallest, our sickest, our poorest minority with the lowest life expectancy in comparison to many third world countries. They have the highest rate of suicide without any mental health care, let alone any real decent health insurance. So when I hear people say, oh, Native Americans, they have the great, they get free health insurance, blah, 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 blah. You know what? Someone here in California on Medi-Cal gets better health insurance than a Native American living on the Cheyenne River, the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, Rosebud, you name it. They get the bottom of the bottom when it comes to health insurance. The male life expectancy on a reservation is about 44 years old. A female, it's about 52. Now, with modern technology, modern medicine, us becoming wiser to the foods we consume, this number that I just read to you should not be. And this is a travesty that's happening right under our noses in the land of the free, in the home of the brave. And most Americans are completely delusional about it. And it's not your fault if you're unaware of this. Now I've told you. Now you know. Now you can go do your own research on it. It's not talked about. It's kept hush-hush. And it's a very, very sad thing that is happening in South Dakota. And South Dakota isn't the only reservations. There's travesties happening in Arizona with water rights, and I could do a whole show on that, how the Navajos are battling Peabody and Cole and good old Senator John McCain and Kyle, the two senators out of Arizona, for something as sacred and as simple as water. Water should be everybody's right. We all need it. Every living creature on this planet needs clean, sustainable water. And those are just one of the many plights of Native Americans. But tonight, we are going to do something fun. We're going to talk to Julie about all the incredible and fun things that the people up there are doing for the children. And I'm going to throw out address where you can send donations. Julie will walk us through everything. And I'm trying to talk for a good 10 minutes and get her on, but we want to make a difference tonight for the children of the Cheyenne River. Let's give back and make this holiday season a little brighter for all. Hopefully. Julie, are you on with us this evening?
I am. How are you tonight?
Doing very well. Good evening. Now, Julie, how do you pronounce your last name again?
My last name is pronounced Garrow.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wanted to make sure before I threw it out there. So tell me, how are things going up there in Cheyenne River? Getting ready for the holidays?
Well, we are. The Cheyenne River Youth Project is getting ready for its, well, not getting, we've actually been thinking and working on Christmas since about, I would say, August, September. So Christmas for us starts really early with all the planning and the organizing that goes into a big toy drive like this. We fully expect to reach as many as 1,200 kids this year. We've been kind of growing every year since the toy drive began. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it. I have volunteers coming from throughout the country, really throughout the country and the world, to come and help us out. So it's going to be exciting.
Oh, that's so awesome to hear. Now, do you notice that every year it, I want to say gets bigger and bigger, but every year is there more people contributing, I should say?
You mean in terms of toys and
Yes.
or donations?
Donations, absolutely.
Well, I think it changes. We have a standard group of people and organizations that help us out every year. And I think, as far as personal contributions and donations, I think that depends on where people are, just in terms of their own income or their situations. And, you know, sometimes we'll get letters from people just saying that, you know, we're not able to help this year and, you know, we hope to later on. That sort of thing does take place. And but, you know, in general, we have a group of people who have just been with us year after year. So we can kind of always rely on that. But, you know, we have, let's say, a group in St. Louis that does a lot of organizing in that area. And then they send a big truck to us that has toys and that sort of thing for, you know, maybe 500 kids that somebody in that area may have adopted. But even they go through the same thing where people have helped the year before but just weren't able to the next year. So it does change, but we're always able to do it. You know, just we always make sure it happens, even if we didn't have, you know, all the funding we might have had from the year before or 2 years before. You know, we always make it happen. We just have to.
Absolutely. Well, you know, strength in numbers, I always say, and when more people pull together, the more the merrier, so to speak. No pun intended, but...
Yeah, there you go.
Now, Julie, you were talking to me last year about some certain programs that you had, like Midnight Basketball. You had this thing called Passion for Fashion. Do you still have those programs going on?
We do. I would say, you know, that we do have, you know, we have programming that goes on throughout the year. We have two youth centers. We have a youth center for ages 4 to 12, and then we have our teen center for ages 13 to 18. So we have our regular daily programming that takes place, and, you know, we have, you know, after-school snacks and meals, and, you know, the kids have access to the gymnasium and the internet cafe and just, you know, general kind of, you know, after-school activities. But then we do have some of our signature events or, you know, programs that we've created that we've just have become kind of like a part of the heart of the organization. And I would say Midnight Basketball is one of those. It was created back in 1996. Working with one of the volunteers, and this was a way for us to get kids off the street on Friday and Saturday nights. So we offer midnight basketball, and we play from around 8 or 9 o'clock at night to 2 in the morning. And, cool. Of course, the program has its critics, but, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, there's a little bit of reality that we all need to kind of find, you know, kind of live in, and some of these kids would be out and about. They love basketball, so we make it available to them. It's supervised, it's warm, it's safe, it's you know, they use their energy, they go home. And the police department says that they see fewer juvenile arrests or, you know, interventions or incidences on those nights that we offer it. And it's generally only offered during the summer months. If we had more funding, of course, and a bigger staff, we'd love to do that year-round. We also have something called Passion for Fashion, which is our signature girl event, teen girl event, where people from throughout the country donate new or gently used dresses, prom dresses, and they're sent to us, and we put on this amazing day, and it's just girls and grown-ups and grandmas and aunties and parents who can come in, and the girls, it's really a huge, it's so much more than just trying on a dress and getting ready for prom. It's also bringing girls from pretty, you know, every kind of, you know, economic level, and I would say everybody here is, you know, fairly, you know, middle to lower income in this area, but, you know, what it does is brings all those girls together who maybe would not normally hang out together or talk to each other, and brings them together for an entire day, and new friendships are made, kind of addresses bullying, because, you know, there's a bond that's created, and they spend the day together, and so, you know, we have a speaker come in. We have this meal that we share with them. We do some, you know, kind of like warm-up kinds of activities with them so they get to know each other. And then we open up the gymnasium, which is filled with dresses and shoes and accessories. And then we have a makeover table, a pedicure table, a manicure table. We have a place where they will get facials. We will have a place where they will get their hair done. And then they can pick out a dress, and they can model it and find the shoes. And at the end of the day, we have a runway kind of walk. So after they're all dressed up and all gorgeous, and then when they go home, they each get a set of jewelry, like a set that matches their dress as their gift, and some other kind of items, you know, something from Bath and Body Works. And just, you know, whatever we have available, if it's makeup sets, that sort of stuff, we'll share it with the girls. so that they go home with some new things. So it's really self-esteem building.
Sure.
Another program that we have is called Maine University, which is for our little kids. And it's an educational program that was started by one of our past volunteers. And it's really lasted. But every fall, we offer classes, and they last for 6 weeks. So every Saturday, kids can enroll in classes. And each week is taught by a volunteer or a staff on a variety of topics. And the kids get to choose the course that they're going to take. And then at the end of the 6 weeks, they actually go through a graduation ceremony. And the idea is to just get them thinking about post-secondary education, you know, kind of the terminology that comes with it, graduation, college, university, electives, that sort of thing. But the courses will be anything from, you know, climate change to our Lakota chiefs to something maybe happening in the state. I think they did something this year about the elections. So we'll do those sorts of things with them. So that's kind of one of our for our younger kids. But every day we're here for them, and again, trying to serve them some healthy meals, some, you know, making sure that they don't, you know, that if there are kids who aren't going to get fed, making sure that they do get a meal. So we're pretty busy, and we have a manpower is made up of volunteers and a few staff people. But yeah, we're pretty busy, and now we're entering the holiday season, and so we're getting ready for our big toy drive.
Now, the passion for fashion, is that usually a springtime thing, or does that happen during the holidays too?
Well, no, people can send dresses during the holidays, because sometimes if they're shipping presents, they'll be shipping. They're like, oh, well, we have the dresses, we want to send them along. That's fine too. But generally, it will take place anywhere from middle of February to middle of March. We try to plan it so that we host it before the local schools have their big prom. So I think within the reservation, which is roughly 3 million square miles, I think we have 3 or 4 high schools within our boundaries. So we'll extend an invitation to all the girls at all these, you know, high school girls at these schools. And so they all have their proms at different times of the spring. So we try to hold it so that they all get to participate and get to come. So it's about anywhere from, you know, like I said, middle of February to middle of March. And I don't think we've chosen our date yet, but every year there's a theme. I think last year was Runway Week. So they had, you know, for the Internet Cafe, it was a Parisian cafe, and then they went into the gymnasium, which had been changed into a New York runway. There was Milan had all the different shoes and that sort of thing. So it was just really great, and we have the volunteers who just work so hard to decorate and just create this atmosphere, and it's pretty nice. I'm always really, really impressed with what they're able to do. I'm not sure what the theme is this year, but basically people send dresses, shoes, jewelry, all sorts of things.
Makeup, any girl stuff, you know.
Kind of girl stuff, makeup.
Yeah.
You know, to do the nails, manicure sets, curling irons, all that sort of thing. Anything that we need to. And we will have 5 or 6 stations set up, and volunteers will pamper the girls all day long. And it's really such a... We're girls who get to be girls kind of day. It's really a lot of fun.
Well, I'm going to have to come up and check that out one year. That
should. It's a pretty big deal. And, you know, we've been doing it, I think, as far back as 1990.
Cool.
I think 2000 for sure.
You guys could put me to work. I have a cosmetology license. My family doesn't let me forget it. So I'm always cutting hair, doing someone's hair. So, yeah, that sounds like fun. I'll have to come up and check that out one of these years. That just sounds so wonderful.
It's a great time.
I have a question, and I think I touched on this the last time I had you on, and I didn't realize that there was this issue on the reservations. I don't necessarily say the Cheyenne River Reservation, but the reservations in general up there, there is a heavy issue with gang problems. Is that true?
Well, yeah, I think we do. We do. There are issues with gangs, and I think that every reservation has managed it differently and worked to curb the trend. So I think, like in our case, our tribal government created legislation, you know, that kind of stopped gangs from being seen in public in big groups or wearing the colors and that sort of thing. There's still definitely a gang problem. What we've done to respond to that is we've brought in experts in gang awareness to train community members so they know what to look for, to see the signs, to look for in your child, to see if they're, you know, engaged in gang activity. Definitely. And, you know, I would say that varies. The level of gang activity varies from reservation to reservation. And I, you know, I won't, you know, say any of the reservations' names at all, but yes, right. It is an issue. We also have other challenges, though, too. I mean, we have suicide. Youth suicide is a heartbreaking thing that happens.
It is.
Happens too far,
it's,
too often.
It's a major issue, too.
You know, from ages of, you know, as low as, you know, 10, 12, all the way up to, you know, older adults. And we're losing our people too early. But that's also something that we confront. We also have, you know, our newest challenge is meth. And it's what it's doing to our people. And it's so cheap. And, you know, it's
meth,
being brought
meth,
in.
Okay.
And so that's also happening. So, you know, we're trying to rally to address that as well. So, you know, but all the, you know, even though we have all these challenges, you know, I would still say that, you know, there are people who are just fighting really hard to make sure that, you know, culture is strong, language is strong. And, you know, of course, historically we went through that period of when, you know, when someone said, you know, you can't speak or you can't dress or you can't pray. And so we went through all that. And so we're still actually, you know, healing from those things. And I know that people think, well, that was, you know, however many years ago, but it takes a long time. It doesn't take long to damage, but it takes a long time to heal from that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Every generation has their scars from that. And then the children that come into the world now, they hear the stories from their grandparents or their parents on what has happened in the past. So I definitely think that, you know, with proper education, not just for the people that are not on the reservations, but on the reservations itself, with proper education, they can evolve to be anything they want to be with determination.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that organizations like the Cheyenne River Youth Project, collaborating with other entities on the reservation, I mean, it's a grassroots effort that's going to address and really begin to solve or, you know, at least kind of fix some of the things that have happened here. I mean, I think that everybody understands that the federal government, you know, coming in and saying you do it this way and it doesn't work, it won't work. And so that's why I think the Cheyenne River Youth Project is so great because, you know, I'm biased because I'm actually the founder of the organization. So I am a little biased, so I admit that. But you know, I'm from the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. I was born and raised here, and the organization, you know, was born and raised here. We're not an affiliate of a national organization or, you know, a Boys and Girls Club or anything like that. We're our own organization that represents our community, and so we address the issues that are facing us. And, you know, they're tough issues, but we need to have, I mean, we certainly need help, but we need to be the motivators behind, you know, finding these solutions. And so I think that's what we're doing.
Well, the gang issue is nationwide. It doesn't, you know, where I live in California, and I live in one of the hubs where gangs are in Salinas, California, and it's a major hub. There's always people being busted. There's innocent children getting shot in the streets for just looking a certain way or wearing a certain color or wearing a certain football team jersey. Oh. So it's nationwide. It's, you know, and they seem to, the gang issues and the gang seem to go after the more poor population, the kids that are looking to belong to something. So the more activities we have for our youth, the better off the children are in the end. Like this midnight basketball, excellent, excellent. Even myself working in the school systems, I noticed great changes in a lot of our students who did partake in sports. There were a lot less gang issues. They excelled better in school. So you guys are doing some good things up there.
Thank you very, very much. And thank you for giving us the time. You know, I think that, like I said, it's a big job and we can do it. You know, we do need some help, but mean, I think we're approaching it the right way. You know, we're approaching the wellness of the whole person. You know, we've launched a diabetes prevention initiative within the organization just because that is also a problem within our community. And so, you know, we're talking about the minds and the spirits and the bodies of our young people. And so I think we're trying to do the right thing.
Absolutely. I agree with that completely. I wanted to ask you, what is a population? I know every reservation has their different populations, but for Cheyenne River, what is a population? You know, how many people live on that reservation?
We have around 15,000 people living in an area of about 3 okay. million square miles.
Okay.
Which is pretty sparse. But I like it. I like it a lot. I like the ruralness of our community because it's really beautiful. I think that 15,000, I think there's about a 12,000 that are native and 3,000 maybe non-native living within the boundaries of the reservation. And then we also have about 20 communities, with Eagle Butte being the governmental center. That's where our tribal government is located, which is where we live and where our youth center is located. And most people come in to do business into Eagle Butte, and this is where you'll find, you know, the grocery stores and that sort of thing. And so we have communities that range in distance from about 10 miles as far as 75 miles away from Eagle Butte. So it's very rural.
But
very,
I bet
very
it's
small
beautiful.
Communities,
I bet it's to, beautiful.
You know, some larger ones that are Aww. That surround us, but. And I think they said about 50% of our population is under the age of 18. So that's an amazing statistic. You know, one I see as really exciting because that's power, and that's an amazing thing to be able to, you know that you have, you know, this group of people that you can reach and hope to change and to become, you know, positive forces for change on our reservation.
That's an incredible number, 50% under 18. That's incredible that there's that many young children on the reservations that are that young. That's inspiring. That gives hope to the next generation of Lakotas, so to speak.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, like I said, you know, language and culture and traditions and customs are becoming stronger and stronger, and people really are understanding that it really is part of our wellness, you know, to have that, to know that we can practice and sing and pray and do all those things that we want to. So, you know, we still have some of our elders who remember, you know, the forced assimilation kinds of things that happened years ago. You know, we have to know those stories so that they don't happen again. What we also need to do is, you know, we never will probably love that history, but I think embrace it and know that it exists, and then let's make sure that it doesn't happen again. Let's make sure the history books reflect the truth about what happened to Native people, not just here on Cheyenne River, but across the country.
Absolutely.
So, you know, those are important things that we still have a long way to go. In South Dakota, we have a long way to go.
You know, no, it's very
true. We also need to all think about some reconciliation and let race not be, you know, what makes us dislike each other. You know, we're all, in the end, citizens of South Dakota, citizens of the United States, but it so happens that we're tribal members. We have our own sovereign nation and our own tribal government. So it's an interesting place that we have within the United States, but it's one that, I mean, I guard. Our sovereignty is very important to me. I mean, I think above all else, I believe in our tribal sovereignty. It's what's going to save us. It's what's going to make us stronger.
I agree with that. And I also feel that more Americans don't really know the real story. Like I said in my introduction, our history books are a lie. I think America as a whole, if Americans really understood what really happened to the Native Americans, then I think that America could actually take a turn for the better and evolve into more spiritual, educated human beings. But it starts with educating your own children on the realities and the truths. And I tell my kids this. In 50 years from now, and this is me only hoping, they will have to rewrite history, because most of the things in our history books are a lie, especially about our founding fathers. My kids, don't get me started on Columbus Day, because on Columbus Day, you know, my 7-year-old will walk in and do an interesting project about how he discovered America, and I have to reiterate to my 7-year-old, but honey, he didn't discover America. He invaded America. There were actually people here living here in peace and harmony before, you know, he ever entered the United States or the Americas in general. So it does start with education, Julie, and I'm hoping in time more and more people will see the light, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's a slow process, but, you know, I think we're making progress. We are. We have to, you know, and we have to remain positive and keep working at it. So,
absolutely.
There's so much to, you know, I just returned from a trip to Australia, and I remember visiting Uluru, and, you know, they do an amazing job of educating visitors and tourists to that site about the sacredness of it. And they really, really do discourage you from climbing it because it is a sacred place.
Sure.
And, you know, they do such a good job. You know, the first question I said was, you know, after they talk with you and they tell you the importance of this rock to people, who would even climb it? But there's still people who do. So, you know, those are the people that we have to continue to try and reach. So whether it's on Australia and the Aboriginal population there, or it's the native populations here in the United States, you know, we just have to really work at respecting and teaching people and helping them to understand that, you know, you may not understand it, but that doesn't mean that it's not sacred to us or it's not important to us, or, you know, that diversity is a beautiful thing. It's a great thing. It's really what makes us great as a country, too, as a nation. So, you know, we shouldn't try to make everybody as one. You know, it's not a very appealing thought to me.
No. Everyone is a unique individual. But yes, more people do need to show respect for other things, you know, sacred ground, nature in general, Mother Earth in general, in my opinion. We need to show
everybody needs to show more
respect to her.
Absolutely. And actually, that's why we started our organic garden. We have a 2.5-acre garden that we've been working since about 1999, 2000. But that was it. You know, we have a lot of kids who are disconnected from the earth, and that should be with all this land and with who we are as Native people, as Lakota people. You know, that's something that is a part of us. And so what we saw were that a lot of kids were just not, you know, they weren't understanding what Mother Earth can do for you and how it can feed you and how it can, you know, clothe you. It can do so much. And so So that's why we started the garden, and, you know, we're blessed, too, because we actually produce things, you know, and healthy things, which is going to help combat our diabetes and get kids out and, you know, away from video games and that sort of thing. So it's a pretty awesome project, but that's why we did it, because, you know, there is a connection to the land, and a lot of the kids were just not understanding that, you know, somebody wasn't teaching them that.
That's an incredible thing. I know with kids, especially my own, when they're playing in the dirt doing something like that, there's this look on their face, at least with my own, out in the garden gardening. They have this look on their face. They're getting dirty. They're having a good time. They're touching the earth, and they're creating something from it that will, by nature, with Mother Earth, the ground, the sun, they're going to grow something that they will be able to say, hey, I did that. I grew that. You know, it's an incredible thing. It may seem little to others, but to myself and to you and all the other people that are into that gardening, it's very therapeutic too and healing.
Yeah, no, it is. It really is. And I tell people, if you need just a break, you know, just to kind of get a breather, go to the garden, go outside,
yep.
You know, just kind of take a minute and step back. So it's, yeah, it's a great thing.
Now, Julie, I wanted to ask, what this year, I have my 3 boxes sitting here and they're halfway full, and I wanted to wait till I had you on air to find out what is really needed this year for the children and the toy drive. what are some of the things that children are requesting? Is there a website we can go to?
There is. You can visit our website. It's www.lakotayouth.org. And we have a list of most requested items on that page. But, you know, what happens with the toy drive is that each of the kids writes a letter. And I know that seems kind of impossible because it's really very personal. But each of the children will write a letter. And we'll find people to help sponsor letters. And so, you know, if somebody at this stage wants to call or email me and say, hey, you know, we'd like to adopt a couple letters, then I can send them out to them by email. And they can get them to us as late as, you know, the 20th of December. Because we start delivering, I think, on the 22nd or 23rd. So we still have plenty of time. So that's another way people can help is they can actually adopt Dear Santa Claus letters. And our goal is to try and get the kids at least 2 to 3 items on their list so that they will get at least 2 to 3 packages to open.
Okay.
Generally, they'll get more because we'll have little stocking stuffers, that sort of thing. We also try to create a family gift for the whole family, whether it's one big candy stocking or fruit basket or it's, you know, hygiene products or something. We'll come up with something that we'll give each family. So,
okay.
You know, check out the list. But, you know, new things. Kids like at Christmas time. You know, kids are really so easily, you know, satisfied a lot of the time. You know, some of the kids will ask for, you know, all the electronic stuff, of course. You know, they're kids. Some of them just want a game,
yes.
You know, a table game. Like, you know, I can't even think of a Yahtzee or Monopoly or something like that.
Okay. Board
Barbie
games.
Barbie dolls. You know, so if you visit the website, you'll be able to see our list. And you'll also see some of the press releases. And I think we have a 13-minute video that we had produced that tells our story from start to finish, from when we started back in 1988 to now, where we are in the facilities and our volunteers. And you'll see some of the kids and you'll see, you know, the kids in the garden. So, yeah, visit the website, not just for the list, but also take a look at our 13-minute video.
And I just want to make sure we have that right. That is www.lakotayouth, spelled LAKOTA and youth.org, correct?
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
All right. LakotaYouth.org. I will post that on my Facebook page as well and also on my website. For those of you who may have not had a pen or may have forgotten to write it down, never fear. I will post it for you. And then you guys out there listening can get some information on what a child needs this year at Christmas time. Julie, I did want to ask you, I actually have a couple of boxes sitting here and I've kind of gone through, you know, things. And I know that there's a lot of elders out there that are probably in need of certain things like a warm, nice new warm blanket, maybe some, you know, in my introduction, I said that there's certain things that we take for granted every day, like hand lotion, toothpaste, shampoo, conditioner. Can people send that too for the elders as well?
Yeah. It's harder. You know, if you say specifically for, because it's hard to decide where does it go. You know, what we have is if you send items like that, we have a family services program where
okay.
families can buy a membership with us. And this doesn't apply to the kids. The kids can come for free. That's, you know, every day. But the
okay.
Family Services has a membership where it's $30 for the year, which is really just such a small fee. But it just helps them. They have a membership. It means that they invested. And then they have access to the toy drive, our emergency heat assistance, or a minor home repair. And then we do distributions throughout the year. So we'll have, you know, winter coat distributions or, you know, along with winter accessories. We do school supplies. We'll do shoe distributions, that sort of thing. And so the families that have memberships with us, you know, they could get to come and participate. And it's a way for us to, you know, reach out, communicate with them. We send them a letter. They come in. It's a very dignified way to distribute those kinds of things. And
Absolutely.
Then every week, you know, if a family should have a need, an emergency need, like what you were talking about, some of those hygiene products, you know, they would come in, submit a request, you know, and if we have it on hand, then we share it with the family. So that's another component of the organization that's really, you know, important and just kind of supports the family But, you know, in the end, supports our kids. So, you know, somebody might come in and say, well, they're just, you know, they're having a tougher time this week and, you know, they're low on Pampers. And if we have Pampers, we'll share them. Or if they need new toothbrushes and we have them, we'll share those. So it really just depends on, you know, what the needs are. But that's how we distribute the items that are sent to us.
Okay, well, that's really good to know. Now, Cheyenne River Youth Project is, I'll post this on my Facebook page, and you'll get this information on the website as well. But if you do have a pen and a paper, take this address down, Cheyenne River Youth Project, P.O. Box 410, East Lincoln Street, and this is in Eagle Butte, B-U-T-T-E, South Dakota, 57625. Is that correct, Julie?
Yes, it is.
All
and
right.
If you want to give him my email address, you sure can. And
go I right think, ahead.
Yep.
You could go, yeah, go ahead and give him your email address, Julie.
Okay, it's Julie, J-U-L-I-E dot C-R-Y-P at gmail.com. And I'm going to go ahead and put that information on your Facebook page, if that's okay. Or
please,
if you're already there.
Please do. No, I haven't done anything yet. I've been on air, so usually when I get off air is when I get to all my correspondings and whatnot after the show. But feel free. My Facebook page is Cosmic Code Radio, and you can post anything you want there. It's open, so anybody can post there if they want. Just, you know, post things
okay,
that are the light
and
the love.
Then, and I'll put my email address in the website there, too.
Excellent.
Okay, I've already liked your page.
Excellent. I can hear you clicking away there. That must be what I sound like, too, on air. I'm clicking away. Excellent. And just in case you guys didn't get it, it's julie.cryp at gmail.com. Cheyenne River Youth Project, P.O. Box 410, East Lincoln Street, Eagle Butte, South Dakota, 57625. And you can mail in things. Now, oh, you know what I did want to ask you before we get off the air, Julie, is what about, someone was asking me this afternoon, and I said I'd ask you. Last year, he got really involved with sending care packages to not just Cheyenne River, but several different reservations. His name is Terry, and I don't know if he's listening tonight, but I consider him an angel. He actually last year paid my shipping. I had went shopping and to make things right. I don't know why he felt he needed to pay my shipping, but it really helped. And I call him the angel of Christmas because of it, because the shipping can get expensive, especially if you're shipping big items. But what about things like gift cards, you know, Target cards, Walmart cards, grocery cards? Are those accepted?
Those are really helpful. I do recommend that sometimes for people if, you know, because, you know, they may want to adopt, a letter or just buy something, but then they go in and they buy it and they get it ready and the shipping is so expensive. Sometimes it's just more economical to buy a card. And, you know, Walmart, Kmart, JCPenney, Target, all of those places are places that we will go to do our shopping this year. So
okay.
If that, you know, works, then that's great. And then all you have to do is put a stamp on it and send it. So, and we really do respect the wishes of our donors. So if you'd like to, you know, if you have a specific child or if you have a specific something that you would like us to get, just be specific about it and we can take care of that.
Sounds good to me. So you heard it, folks. You could send in gift cards if you like, if you don't want to send a care package or toys, and they'll do the shopping for the children. But I do suggest you go on the website, www.lakotayouth.org, and then you can adopt, so to speak, a child's wish list, so to speak, and take it from there. It's all about giving, and I always tell my children this, it's always better to give than to receive. It's a little hard with a 7-year-old because 7-year-olds can't comprehend that quite yet, but within time, children will understand. My oldest is very into doing this and helping other people. There's definitely a humanitarian side to her, and I must be doing something right, so
That's nice. That's really great. Yeah, no, I've been doing this for a really long time, so I've got nieces and nephews, and I would say my entire family has been involved with the project, you know, at some point in some way. You know, they always, you know, they get what's happening here, and they understand that it's a really important project and a really important resource for the community. And I would just say to people who are interested in helping, if not at Cheyenne River, you know, and they're going to work with another agency or reservation, I would say get to know them, call them, because, you know, you do want to make sure that, you know, what you're giving is going to the right place. And I would say just give them a call, get to know the organization a little bit. And so, I mean, that's the one thing I think about the Cheyenne River Youth Project is that we're very transparent. We're very open. You know, I'm not removed, you know, as the executive director that I can't take a phone call. I certainly can.
Right.
But, you know, please give the organization a call and find out, because that's what you also want to do is be helping in the right way. You know, that's an important
right.
thing to do.
I have heard a lot of people tell me, I don't know if I want to get involved with that because, you know, these organizations aren't legitimate and they just steal your money and this and that. And I'm fully aware that there's corruption out there, and it comes in all walks of life and it comes in all kinds of people. And when you get involved with something like this, it's the real deal. Trust me, take it from me who does this every year, that the Cheyenne River Youth Project is the real deal, and it's really helping people. It's helping the children.
Thank you very much. And I, it's not because I am with the organization. It really is. It's doing good work, and we serve a lot of kids and a lot of families. And, you know, the toy drive is, you know, of course, our most beloved program. And, you know, there are kids who would get some, and, you know, we compliment that. And there are kids who just would not get anything. And so it's for those that we take care of this so that they can have Christmas memories and they can go to school on Monday and say, this is what I got, like every other kid is going to do.
That's right.
So, you know, and again, they're asking for things that are, you know, it's high, you know, expensive, you know, gadgets I just need some boots and winter coats, that sort of thing. So, you know, you'll see it in the letters, where they are, where they're coming from. Some of them, I want a blanket or I want a sweater for my grandma. You know, these kids are
right.
so amazing. You know, they're so,
aww.
You know, not even asking for themselves, or they'll want an uncle to come home from Afghanistan and that sort of thing.
Aww.
So they're very sweet kids. They really, really are. And you know, it's my honor for me to work for them. It really is. It's a blessing.
That is so cool. I have got to get up there. I said I was going to come up and visit you guys last summer, but it didn't work out for me financially. But things are looking up this year. And, you know, Julie, we just may pay you a visit come summertime.
You know, we are getting ready to celebrate our 25th anniversary, which is a really important thing because there are a lot of, you know, organizations that kind of come and go. But ours has been able to make it. You know, we've stayed, and I think because we've made some good decisions. So we're looking forward to the next 25 years. There's no doubt about it.
Awesome. And as long as I'm doing this show, you'll be back here next year with me. And maybe we'll even
get you
on for
Thank
Passion
you so
of
much.
Fashion.
And yeah, please. I posted all the information on your Facebook page. And so I really do. If people want to call me and talk to me, or if they want to just email me, you know, I really want to assure people that it's the real deal what we're trying to do here. And it is one of those really inspiring stories, you know, where, you know, we took the old bar, the little brown jug, we renovated it, we turned it into a youth center. It's really one of those amazing, inspiring stories that it really happened, and it happened here.
That's awesome to hear. It's wonderful to hear good news. And good things happening.
Good stuff. There's no doubt about it. And I just really, I love the project. So thank you for the opportunity to talk to you and to share.
My pleasure.
And, yeah, I love it. And so I look forward to hearing from everyone.
Definitely. So everyone out there, it's the ball's in your court, and you know what to do. And Julie, I will be sending my packages out in a couple of weeks, probably in about a week. They're halfway full. I have three of them. So, this should be an awesome time of year. Hopefully everyone will get what they want for Christmas, and we'll put some smiles on these beautiful children's faces. Julie,
Brilliant.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you so, so much. You have a good evening.
You too, Julie. Blessings.
All right. Bye-bye. Good night. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
You're very welcome. And that was Julie Garu from the Cheyenne River Youth Project. She sent out a whole bunch of information on my Facebook page. I will post it onto my website this evening, I promise. My website being www.cosmiccoderadio.com. You can also go through my Facebook page, which is Cosmic Code Radio on Facebook, and get the addresses there. There's several different ways we can help this year, so let's make a difference this year. And not just this year, every year. And you can give all year round. It doesn't have to be necessarily at Christmas, but every little bit will help to make the holidays a little happier and brighter for the children of the Lakotas. I have a few minutes left. I wanted to mention that on December 9th, this is my next show, I actually have some amazing guests on. So you're going to want to write this down. I had them on my show last year, and this movie that they've created is just absolutely awesome. I will be joined in 2 weeks by Sean Fisher and Chief Sony Reyna and Gary. I didn't get Gary's last name. He's an extra, and he's affiliated with this movie too. These guys are the creators of Metaphysia 2012. The movie is Are You Being Shifted? This is a must-see movie. I have to say, it definitely puts things in perspective. If any of you out there have had fears, oh my God, December 21st, 2012, holy cow, it's the end of the world. It's this, it's that. No, it's not. I'm going on air December 23rd. I'll still be here. Nobody's going anywhere. We're all going to live another day. We're all going to breathe again. What is going to take place, though, is 2012 isn't the end of the world, but it's going to be a shift in thought process. It's going to be a cosmic shift in how mankind starts thinking in a more spiritual and positive manner. And I'm very honored to have these three guys on with me in 2 weeks. They're my good friends, and they've put out this incredible movie. And I'm hoping, and I can't promise this yet, but I'm hoping I'm going to have a little contest probably on Facebook. It's going to be you have to get the question right. And the first person who gets that question right is going to win the DVD, Metaphysia 2012. My treat. Just a lucky winner who listens to Cosmic Code Radio. This is an excellent movie. I have it in my video library, and it's something that you don't want to miss. It totally puts things in perspective. So with that being said, I will see you guys in 2 weeks. Thank you, everyone, for joining me tonight and taking part in this wonderful fundraiser for my friend Julie and the children of the Cheyenne River Youth Project. And I will see you guys in 2 weeks. Be safe. Have a great 2 weeks. Good night, everybody.